Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Today is a Father Sunday, and you are the ultimate Father who made us. We praise and worship your name. Thank you for sharing your glory through your Son Jesus, that you know we would become part of your heavenly family. We are co-heir of God with Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son. We thank you for your being with us and sustaining us, Father, every day. And today we come to worship you, and your Holy Spirit help us to just focus on you, Father. And we commit our heart to your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the last few weeks, the Lord put a word into my heart, and that word is revival. And I was pondering upon the Bible, what is revival? But I felt that we need revival in this country and all the nations, actually. And you know, UK's Westminster Chapel, there's a pastor called Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. I think he passed away, but he served the chapel for many years. And he said, there is no hope of revival until our primary focus is God's glory and others' benefit. So this means we have to think and live beyond our own benefit and ourselves. It also means the self-centered secular lifestyle is clearly the biggest stumbling block for revival to take place. And there has to be a radical shift in our mind from the me, my, mine focus. Simply put, revival won't take place while we are stuck into self-centered secular lifestyle, which is called American Dream. So what is revival? Let me share first Bible verse. Revival is actually biblical words. If you look at Psalm 85:6, the psalmist put this way, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? So we can see that revival has to come from God, and he has to revive us so that people may rejoice in God, lift his God's glory back into life. And another Bible verse from Isaiah 51:15, thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. So we can see that God is holy, and he is different, and he has only a status, and he doesn't share his glory with anything else, and he won his creation to look on him, who is on a high and holy place. And you know, our spirit of humility, lowly spirit, and the heart of the contrite is conducive to God's revival. So what is revival? I would say this way, it is the restoration of life that has been lost. And it means a sovereign work of God in which the Church of God is being lifted out of spiritual indifference and worldliness into conviction of sin, honest desire for more of Christ and his word, and boldness in witness and holiness of life. Then the Church will see lots of conversions, joyful worship, and renewed commitment to missions as a result of revival. So when we are in the dark, we don't even know what the light is. Until the light begins to shine. And when the light begins to shine, only then we know we have been wrapped in the dark. And that light shine upon our face, and our heart is Jesus. Jesus is the light. When he came to the world, he said we need to repent. And only then people realize they were living in the pitch dark. So before we do anything, all of us are in need of understanding what Jesus meant to repent. Repentance is the first crucial step for revival. And I put today's sermon's title, Repentance Precedes Revival. So this repentance has to happen. Without repentance, there is no hope for revival. The second step of revival is called reformation. Reformation only comes after repentance. Repentance is a shift from where we should not be, and reformation is a shift to where we should be. And repentance is a shift from a self-centered lifestyle, and reformation is a shift to a God-centered lifestyle. And revival needs both of these elements taking place one after the other. So today, I'd like to talk about repentance, which is the very crucial step, the primary step of revival. What is repentance? Someone said we only repent once and for all, but I disagree with that because when Jesus said repent, it's a command, the present imperative to the second person. We need to continue to repent. It's not just one time and for all. And repentance is basically a change of mind. It's about a new mind about God. It's a new mind about God. And repentance is metanoia in Greek manuscript. And the very first word Jesus spoke in his first preaching according to Matthew's gospel is repent. After Jesus was tested by evil, by the devil, for 40 days and 40 nights, and he came to proclaim his first message. And the first imperative, first command of Jesus is repent. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And also Mark's gospel, Mark 1:15, Jesus says similar thing in different way. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So both Mark and Matthew recorded the first imperative, first command of Jesus is repent. So it is very important word in Jesus' mind. He came as a light to tell us that we need to repent. And if you look at Luke's gospel, at the end of Luke's gospel 24, Jesus said, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance, the forgiveness of sins, should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. So we can see that at the very public ministry of his the ministry, Jesus talks about repentance. And even at the end, before he was taken to heaven, he said, we need to repent. And the message of repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem all the way. So in Jesus' mind, repentance is so crucial step. Repentance entails a radical shift of our earthly mindset in light of the imminent arrival of the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. So repentance is a central message of the kingdom of God. And repentance is much more than mere sorrow for sin or mere improvement of behavior. It is a new mind about God. It's a new mind about our life perspective. So it's very fundamental. It's deep within. You know, Jesus calls us to depart from all we have lived for with the earthly mindset to be prepared for the coming kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is saying that the earthly mind is not comparable with the heavenly, and that the earthly mind cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus said, unless we repent, we will perish. We're not going to have any inheritance in the kingdom of God that is to come. And Jesus himself lived on earth with the heavenly mindset. And he would not let his life confine with the paradigm of the earth. He was in the world, but not of the world. So then what is the paradigm of the earth Jesus wanted us to repent from? So we need to understand the earthly paradigm. You know, what is the operating system under which we live today? I believe 1 John 2:16 gives us very detailed. And it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father and is from the world. So Apostle John lists out three important elements or principles of the earthly paradigm or worldly paradigm. The first is lust of the flesh, and second is lust of the eyes, and third is the boastful pride of life. If we understand these three things, we can get out of this operating system under which we live in. Lust of the flesh is, in easy words, it's a craving for physical pleasure. Craving for physical pleasure. Wanting everything our own way. You know, we want to enjoy, and we want to find the pleasure of our life in ourselves, in our flesh. And the lust of the eyes is basically a craving for everything we see. It's wanting, again, everything for ourselves, for our own entertainment. And the boastful pride of life is pride in our achievements and possessions and status and wealth. And why do we boast the pride of life? Because we want to appear important and significant before people with our achievement, with our status, with our position, with our power, and with our wealth. So we want to find our significance from the acclaim of the world. That's what it means, boastful pride of life. So we want to be defined by how others look at us based on these things of the world, position, wealth, status, and power, and so on. You know, practically, these three elements or these three principles are everything that goes on in the world and that which people are chasing after. And I'm afraid the people of God in the church, Christians, are also chasing after these three things. And these influences are too strong to resist, because this is the principles of the world. And the system of the world is operating around these principles. Let me relax a little bit. It's too serious. I don't know. How can I not be serious when I talk about these things? But let me relax a little bit. You know, your phone. You know, I didn't bring my phone today, and by mistake. And then I feel strange not having phone for last, 3 hours or so. But anyhow, your phone has its own operating system, as you know. And if you have Apple phones, it is called iOS, stands for iPhone OS. They call iOS. And for other phones, it is called Android. You know, your operating system of your phone keeps your phone updated with the latest version of iOS or Android automatically. And it allows you to access all its latest applications through your app stores or Google Play. And you can download so many good things from those app store, so that you may be able to read email without going into, you know, your email, you know, HTTP address. You have an app, just click it, and then your email is accessible to you. And you may be able to read newspapers if you sign on. If you download CNN or New York Times, you can read newspaper with one click. And you can call Uber, I don't know how to pronounce it. You can call taxi, Uber, and then you click it, and then they will come in 5 to 10 minutes. And you can do your online banking with your phone and set parental controls for all family plans. Actually, this is a powerful app. You can actually, you know, block all the apps from the phones that you have for your family. And you can play games and watch ESPN and CNN, etc. And on top of that, many of us read Bible from the Bible apps like YouVersion. And YouVersion actually has hundreds of versions in not only in English language, but in any other language that we know of, they update it with that app. It's a powerful app. The point I'd like to make is that it would be very, very hard to live without your smartphone and its apps. You know, we have to admit that we are so attached to this gadget called smartphones. And even this hour, I know you hold on your, you know, palm and read. I don't know what you read, but you read something and it's very close to you. And in a similar way, knowingly or unknowingly, we are so attached to the worldly paradigm of the three elements that I listed in 1 John 2:16. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. As if it is almost impossible to live differently apart from these principles. So we have to recognize the operating system under which we live in. You know, we live in these three powerful influences. And you know, one of the hardest things is to change our mindset. It's very difficult, very difficult. Once you have a thought that you believe, it's very difficult to change. But Jesus said we need to repent from the mindset of this worldly and earthly paradigm. And how can we get out of these worldly principles to which our mind is so strongly attached to? So let's look at this principle one at a time. What is the opposite of those three things? One at a time. What is the opposite of the lust of the flesh? The opposite is basically holiness, holy life. The holy desire led by the Spirit, that is the opposite principle to stand against the lust of the flesh. We talked about Holy Spirit for almost last two months. You know, it's so important that we would be led by the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way that we can overcome the lust of the flesh. Instead of gratifying our selfish passion, we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. And in the scripture, God speaks, be holy, or walk by the Spirit, or live by the Spirit. And over again, And we are created to find our pleasure in God's beauty and glory. You know, seeking pleasure is nothing wrong. But the lust of the flesh is a counterfeit that makes us pleased. But the source of our pleasure has to be God's beauty and His glory. And we find true satisfaction, we find true pleasure when we lift up God's name, when we worship Him, when we glorify His name and His beauty. When we behold the beauty of Jesus in our meditation, we have true pleasure, and by which we can overcome the lust of the flesh. And as I said, the lust of the flesh is a counterfeit to the holy desire of God's glory. So the only way we can overcome this lust of the flesh is our holy desire, somewhat boosted up for God's glory. And second thing, what is the opposite of the lust of the eyes? The opposite of the lust of the eyes is faith, simple faith. You know, faith is defined in Hebrew 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and conviction of things not seen. So we live in a world that we have to see before we believe. But in faith paradigm, it's the opposite. When you have faith, when you believe, you can see and you can perceive. It's a complete opposite paradigm. And what we see is not everything that is important. You know, what we may not be able to see with our naked eye is actually more important thing to perceive. And the channel by which we can see invisible, the realm of God, realm of heaven, is through the faculty called faith God has given us. And faith is operated on the hope that the kingdom of heaven is the main event that follows the earthly life. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that this life we have here is like a preseason training for the main event, season to come? You know, football players now practice. They do their fitness training so that when main season comes, they will be able to perform. And this life is actually like a spring camp. It's not the main event. And we have to have that mindset all the time. That's exactly what Jesus meant. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You are going to go into heaven, and before you go into heaven, you need to repent from all the earthly mindset. That's what Jesus is saying. He said 2,000 years ago, if Jesus were here today, He would say the same thing to all of us, because that's so important. You know, God says eternity in our heart. Ecclesiastes 3:11 read, He made everything appropriate in His time, and He has also set eternity in their heart. So, you know, faith is the faculty in the human heart God has given so that we can perceive eternity, although we may not see with our naked eye. But life is much more than the lust of the eyes, because there are things that our eyes cannot see. And by faith, we can perceive the things that is invisible, that is to come, that is more important than this life. You know, these days, a lot of the famous people, so-called, what is that called? Famous people? Celebrities, yes. One of the guy who go around the world and taste the good food, right? What's his name? Anthony Bourdain, right? You know, sad news is he committed suicide. And he thought, you know, everybody thought he enjoyed his life. You know, what a good job he has, go around the world and taste good food. And when he went to Korea, he really liked budae jjigae. You know, one of the the food that during war, you know, Korean War, people ate that because nothing to eat, and he liked that food, 부대찌개. 부대 is a, I think 부대 is a army, right? And 찌개 is kind of, you know, hot pot. You know, there is no food, so they put all the junks in that, and they ate during wartime, and he likes that, but he's gone. You know why? Because he didn't find meaning. Although he got everything he has, reputation, money, you know, fame, but that doesn't satisfy him. And he just, you know, cut his own life. Very sad. Now let's think about the opposite of the boastful pride of life. What is the opposite of that? It is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Apostle Paul said, Galatians 6:14, "But may it never be that I should boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You know, in order to defeat the boastful pride of life, we have to possess cross all the time. And that's the only thing that we should boast, as Apostle Paul put. You know, we are not defined by how good I look, or how much I have, or how much I have achieved for status, or for position, or wealth. And these are the standards of the world's paradigm. And we don't boast these things. We boast the cross of Jesus Christ, because by the cross of Lord Jesus, we are adopted into God's family and have become co-heirs of God with Jesus Christ. You know, our acceptance, our significance is defined by God, who looks at us, each one of us, as His treasure, His co-heir with His Son. When we have faith in Jesus Christ, when we believe in Jesus Christ, the moment we do that, you know, we are accepted, eternally accepted by God, and not just as one of the saints, but one of the co-heir with Jesus Christ. You know, your title is heir of God with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. You know, that is our basis of, you know, our value, our significance. You know, Romans 8, 16-17, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Bearing cross is not an easy thing. It's against the paradigm of the world. People think that cross is a foolishness, but it is the power of God who saves us. And if you carry this across, we may also be glorified with Jesus Christ. You know, God said He doesn't share His glory with anyone else. But now, in the New Testament, Romans 8 says, in Jesus, we are co-heir, but not co-heir of God, but not only that, we may share this glory that is given to Jesus. So we share this glory of God because of our faith, because we carry the cross in our heart. And this is the paradigm that we need to keep on and find our significance in Jesus Christ. You know, our status is defined by God, and we are co-heir with God's Son in the kingdom of heaven. That is eternal status, eternal significance that carry with us. The moment that you die, people will begin to forget you, how great you are. You know, people, you know, over the course of time, nobody will remember you and remember me. But in the kingdom of heaven, we are forever co-heir of God with Jesus Christ. You know, that is the status that we should chase after. Actually, we have that already in us. We have to believe that. Continue to say that I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. My Father is the Creator. My Father owns everything in the world. You know, what would be your inheritance, do you think? You think you're going to have a room in a hotel, like, you know, a mansion? But I think much, much bigger, because God owns the whole universe. There are, you know, 300 million galaxies to date, they found. And each galaxy has, you know, billions of stars. And God is that big, and then what would be your inheritance, you think? I believe that God may give you one galaxy, the whole galaxy, to you to control and navigate. And I think Star Wars actually give us that imagination. Universe is so vast. And why do you think that you're going to have only one room, like, you know, Hilton Hotel type of room as your, you know, inheritance in heaven? I think your dwelling place is much bigger than that. If you really understand God's infiniteness and His lavishness in His giving, why would He not give you the whole galaxy, maybe more than one galaxy? So the worldly status is a counterfeit to our real significance that can only be found by God's grace, which is done His Son's redemptive work on the cross. You don't have to prove your significance through your earthly effort. It's in this room. You go here and then turn off. You know, even if you have earthly status and great achievement on earth, you will have to leave everything when God calls you to depart from the earth. You know, I keep saying this illustration. When Rockefeller died, the reporter asked his CPA how much money he left. And his CPA said he left everything behind. Not a single penny he took with him. He's very poor in kingdom if he doesn't have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. You know, the earthly status or possession or whatever we earn by our effort on earth, they are like vapors that disappear in due time. You know, someone says the value we cannot keep eternally is worthless and eternally worthless. Think about that. You know, to summarize, these three prevailing principles of the world we talked about, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, are not from God, but from the world. And these have nothing to do with the Father. Father in heaven does not look at you on the basis of how much you have achieved on these things of the world. How important you are and how much or how high you have achieved in the ranks of the world system would not please the Father. And rather, these things have nothing to do with Him. That's what the Bible says. It's not from God, it's from the world. And according to James 4:4, friendship with the world is hostility toward God. You know, love of these things we pursue in the world is hostility toward God. You know, every passion and every ambition that is self-centered, pleasure-oriented, and self-serving has nothing to do with the Father, and it's rather hostility toward God. You know, I think hostility toward God is a nice way to say that God hates them. You know, we are on the opposite side when we still live in that operating system. God doesn't value any of those, and actually God hates this system. And that is the first message of Jesus on earth. According to Mark and Matthew's gospel, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it is one of the last messages of Jesus according to Luke. Proclaim the repentance for the forgiveness of sins on all the nations, starting from Jerusalem. How important that is. So the purpose of Jesus coming to this world is to awaken us from this attachment to the world as a first step. And Jesus' mission was to restore the original purpose of humanity God sets out in the beginning. So I believe Jesus is the first revival, true revival in the New Testament. You know, Jesus coming to the world signals the new era. That's why we have New Testament to awaken us so that we would have revival. But before revival happened, Jesus said, we need to repent. You know, revival is only good as our repentance. Without repentance, there is no hope for revival. In order to repent, we have to reset our mind with the right operating system. You know, we have to be willing to delete all the things that occupy our mind. That's repentance. Can you imagine that? You have so many good photos and good files and so on in your computer. And one day you have to realize you have so many viruses. You have to kill them all. It's all infected. And you have to reformat your computer with the new operating system. And then you have to download all the apps and software from scratch. That's what repentance entails in our mind. We have to clean up. We have to flush everything that we have. We have to lose everything in order to go with Jesus in a brand new way. That's what repentance is all about. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Will you go this new way? Are you willing to go to take this journey with Jesus Christ? Brand new way. You know, completely flush all the things that occupied our mind and that is self-centered, not God-honoring, and pleasure-filled, you know, mindset, a worldly mindset. I want to achieve more. I want to achieve more so that I show, I prove that I'm good. You know, we don't need to continue on that race because that's the things of the world. That's the worldly operating system. Jesus wants us to get out as soon as possible and begin to think about what is eternal. The kingdom of heaven is near. You know, 2,000 years closer than Jesus' time. And it's very, very close. And it's time to rethink and, reset our mindset with the mind of Jesus Christ. Would you close your eyes for the moment? You know, would you let the Holy Spirit to reset your mind and heart today? Would you be responsive to the Holy Spirit who would like to give you a new heart, a new mind, the mind of Jesus? And would you be willing to yield to the Holy Spirit? Jesus is calling us to admit our preoccupied mindset to earthly things. And He wants us to experience a change of mind, metanoia, and sees God as true, beautiful, worthy of all our praises and all our obedience. This change of mind embraces Jesus in the same way. And God wants us to find our significance in the relationship with the loving Father who gave His Son for each one of us. You know, we are secure in Jesus Christ forever. And find your security and life purpose from God's perspective. And no one is exempt from the demand of Jesus to repent. If Jesus were here to preach His message, I believe He would say the same thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this demand of Jesus, repent, goes to all the nations. That's why it reaches to us. It comes to us. Whoever we are, wherever we are, it lays claim on us. This is the demand of Jesus to every soul. Repent. Be changed deep within. Father, we thank You that we experience a glimpse of Your heart, Your enduring love and your grace and your holiness. Father, please forgive us from all those worldly and secular entanglements that defiled our mind and our heart. We present as a blank before you so that you'd fill our cup from scratch today. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse all the defilements as we confess our sins, the sins that we fell far, the below the glory of God. We have not honored you, Father, although our lips, our hands show our praises to you, but our heart and our mind inside did not follow. Father, please undo us today. We want to start from scratch as Jesus preached us to repent. We give all our heart and mind to you. We give all the burdens of sin and our simple depravity upon your hands so that you sustain us as a brand new creation. Father, we honor your name, and let each day let us behold the beauty of Jesus and walk with him and live by the Spirit to all obedience to your word, to your glory that is to come in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you from the bottom of our heart because your message is always the message of hope. Father, as we confess from the bottom of our heart that our mind has been defiled and tainted with the things of the world, but today, as Jesus preached to us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we present who we are as with the confessing and contrite spirit before you, so that the blood of Jesus cleanse us once more as we flush, willing to flush all that has occupied in our mind before your presence, Lord. And thank you for the message of repentance, for the forgiveness of sins that is reached by Jesus, who spoke this message 2,000 years ago. And I believe it reached us this Sunday morning to each one of us powerfully, so that we can truly live differently from the operating system of this world. Father, thank you for your mercy that endures forever. Thank you for your grace that is above our sins. Thank you for the new mindset that you have given us through your Son Jesus Christ. Father, as we go out to the world, let each and every moment be lived by taking our thought to the captive of Jesus' mind, so that we prevail this world with your heavenly paradigm. Thank you for granting us faith to each one of us that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of the Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.